Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you tonight on the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you in here with us tonight on 1300 AM WNQM. We are delighted to be with you this Sunday afternoon. You see, ladies and gentlemen, destruction's in the land. We never know from one day to the next evening what's coming down in a world that is filled with turbulence, upheavals, waves of the sea roaring, fear among many people, the love of many waxing cold, the falling away, the end times, ladies and gentlemen. The scenario is presenting itself in the signs of the elements. Well, in all of these things, take heart, be of good cheer, because your Redeemer draweth nigh. And ladies and gentlemen, if we didn't have the faith purposely positioned in our heart to look forward to in these last days, then we wonder what would the effects of our faith end become. Well, we know by faith we walk, and by faith we shall journey on. Tonight we're going into our message, part three of the Passover. We're going to give you the elements of the Passover. We're going to give you the ritual mysteries that have been veiled for so many years concerning the Passover. What's the Passover all about, Pastor Buddy? Well, to begin with, it was initiated in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, or at least that's when we find the command given to Moses to keep three festivals as a Hebrew tradition each year. Three times in the year, the Bible says that the males must assemble before me in my presence. Well, that's the sons of Jacob, ladies and gentlemen, the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. Well, with Israel scattered abroad and the lost sheep that we talked about last Sunday night on WNQM 1300 AM around your radio frequency receivers, that we're coming into your home through your invitation. And we're glad to be here. We're going to give you the lost sheep revelation as well as the purpose of the effects of the Passover. Now, the Passover is given, as I said, for a memorial. The Messiah, of all the things that we could commemorate, and for all the reasons that we could celebrate his time, this is the only one that he chose as a preference to do in his remembrance. Now, why would we do it in remembrance of him? Well, simply because he particularly chose this time of the year, that is in the spring, in the beginning of life,
Remember now, the Tabernacles is in the fall of what we call the end time harvest. But what about the festival of the spring? Well, to be frankly honest with you, there is two ways of looking at Passover. Passover number one was the first Passover festival celebrated in the month of Abib. Now, the month of Abib indicates in the Hebrew language the month of green ears. So then, therefore, we know that the festival of Passover was in the spring. Now, what we look for is the division of times. There were actually four divisions of time given for the purpose of separating the seasons. Now, we have the spring equinox, and the spring equinox is the beginning. He said, from this beginning, and the word for equinox is Tekufu in Hebrew, means at the beginning of time, or the beginning of the spring festival. And of course, spring, everything buds out, becomes green, and in the month of green ears, we mark this occasion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the month of April, in the full moon, the month of April, the full moon, is when we have what is known as the first Passover. Now, we're going to concentrate on the second Passover. What's the second Passover all about? This is part three of the revelation of the unveiling of the mystery of Passover. Well, you see, if we look into the scriptures, Matthew chapter 26 and the book of Mark chapter 14, we'll find out that the Messiah did not die in the first Passover. Now, that may be quite a revelation to some of you, but and it may surprise some of you. But if you study the scriptures and look at the revelation of the word, you find that Christ was still alive in what we call the first Passover. Now, by being alive in the first Passover, that means he had to die at a later date. Well, what date did he die? Well, it is known by scriptural information that Christ, 6 days before the first Passover, he was in the presence of Lazarus, who was dead. And by being in the presence of a dead man, actually he resurrected him from the grave after being dead for 4 days. The Bible says that he was raised, and therefore Christ would have been condemned as unclean, unworthy, if you will, by default, of touching a dead body, along with his disciples. I'm sure that Lazarus hugged everyone in the congregation being present there at that time. And the Bible says that the Jews, who were jealous and envious of the Messiah's popularity, dared not kill him in their Passover. Well, that's the first Passover. Now, if they dared not kill him, the question is, when did they actually perform the killing of the Messiah, who himself was designated through prophecy to be the Passover Lamb? We know that he died by the scriptures. Now, what is obscure and what is somewhat cloudy is in the text of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. None of the other books of the New Testament give much enlightenment upon the time that he died. We take for granted, we've always taken for granted, that he died in the first Passover. But that's not true. What I want you to see this afternoon on 1300 AM WNQM live with Pastor Buddy, I want you to search the scriptures for wherein you think a certain thing is true when in actuality it may not be. Now, what do I mean by him not dying in the first Passover? Well, if he didn't die in the first Passover, then, as I said, what Passover did he die in? The only logical conclusion or explanation is that he died being condemned as unclean, touching a dead body through the raising of Lazarus, and also the second witness before Passover, he sat in the presence of a leper, Simon the leper. He had dinner right before the first Passover with Simon the leper. That would have been two reasons why that he would have been branded as unclean. Well, it's a type and a shadow of who you are. You see, you're reckoned to be unclean and cast off or cast aside as the lost sheep of the house of Israel, forever branded as unclean until you were clean by faith through the performance and the wisdom and the foreknowledge and the predestination of our Heavenly Father, Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body. Isn't it marvelous how the elements and the mystery and the unveiling of certain things that's been hid for generations, but has long been right before us without our minds comprehending the in-depth comprehensional ability until it is unveiled or revealed first to the prophet and then unto the people. Well, that's just the way that our Heavenly Father works. And ladies and gentlemen, by the mystery element that our Messiah was not, and indeed was not, crucified in the first Passover, would give you pause for thought, and that you would want to keep in commemoration and remembrance. Remember, I said this is the only purpose of a Passover. Is the symbolic justification, if you will, of a remembrance, a commemorative meal of his death and his burial, and better yet, his resurrection. And so then, while people prepare here in the Easter season, they call it Easter here in the West, we use the pagan word Easter. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, the word Easter's in the Bible. The word Easter has been translated into the Bible to take the place of the Hebrew word Paschal or Passover. So then, the word Easter is an adoption to a pagan word, and it comes from the goddess Ishtar, where the symbol of her motherhood or sexuality are able to produce. This is where the rabbit made its way into the pagan ritual of Easter. This is where the symbol of the bunny rabbit and the Easter egg production came into the sexual fertility of the pagan goddess Ishtar. So when you worship on a pagan day of Easter, and you see, ladies and gentlemen, so many do this, and they do it unaware. They have a good purpose. They mean good. But the Bible says that they have received a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned. Isn't that strange that God Himself will send them? Now, the Bible said if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Do not get caught up in the ways and the traditions of man. It may seem right, simply because a lot of people do it. But just because a lot of people do something doesn't make it right. And the first Passover was a time, according to the Bible, that the Jews observed the killing of the lambs on the 14th day of the month. Now, what day is the 14th day of the month? Well, of course, the 14th is the day before the full moon of the 15th day, or the mid-month cycle of time. Now, let me repeat that. The 14th day, remember, the Passover was a Labor Day. It was a day that they killed, each family had a lamb killed or slaughtered or sacrificed, either word would be appropriate, for each family. And when the lamb was too big for one family, then it was divided and given proportionally to two families. Or one family, and another family would be an example of sharing the lamb. None could be wasted, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing left over. Everything that was left over had to be burned by fire because it couldn't be reheated or re-eaten after the initial point of time had passed. That means that the lamb had to be eaten in haste. Now, this was a symbolic virtue of time, meaning that time was valuable, and that the house of Israel was delivered the night that the death angel passed over the land. And the blood was found applied to the post. Now, this is the lamb's blood, along with the hyssop, which is nothing but a cleansing preservative agent that they applied the blood with the branches of the hyssop to the doorpost of their dwelling place. Well, now that you are the dwelling place and the blood has been applied to your heart, and you are no longer under the command of killing goats and bullocks or heifers, you're no longer under that command of the sacrificial system of the law, but yet you're under a traditional remembrance covenant of the lamb. Remember, the lamb was never sacrificed and given to Yahweh. The lamb was commanded to be sacrificed. That means killed and properly bled, koshered, as we call it in the Hebrew language, and then it was given back to the family that brought the lamb. It had to be a male lamb, no exceptions. The lamb could not be over a year old, no exceptions. And it had to be a firstborn. This all is symbolic of the firstborn of every male of Israel being recognized as a recipient of the covenant plan and mercy of Almighty God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once this is established in your heart and in your mind, you'll see the wisdom of the second Passover. And that's what we're going to dwell on in part 3 of the unveiling of the mystery of the second Passover. And I'm going to repeat this in the simplistic terms. You keep the Passover that he kept. If you're going to commemorate his death and his remembrance, you need to observe the one he died in. Well, if he died in the second Passover, that should be the observance of the one you keep. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what difference does it really make? Well, I'll give you a statue and a command issued by Yahweh himself under the directive of his word, where he said that those who were keeping the first Passover, remember this is a law and a statue forever, that he told them to keep the Passover. They couldn't go anywhere at any time and just keep a memorial Passover meal. It was not permitted. It had to be done within the framework of God's eternal mind. And for these purposes, God had reasons. For everything that was done for a reason, for a typology, or for metaphors, or for symbols, or for reckoning, or for opening the veil of the mysteries, in this case, the latter. The second Passover was instituted for those who had touched a dead body. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, we find the command to issue. The authorization was given by Almighty God to Moses for those who had touched a dead body. And ladies and gentlemen, in the season of the first Passover, many people would die at that time. Families would have to wash the dead bodies and embalm their dead loved ones. And this would disqualify you from keeping the first Passover. But for the grace and the mercy of God, which the second Passover symbolizes, reckon yourself under the law to be dead. But under a second covenant of grace, that God would find you a way to escape the wrath of the law and come before his presence in sureness of faith, that you've been made nigh by the death of his Passover in the second event to claim your heritage and your right to become, although you were deemed unclean, although God gave us all the law and none of us kept it. You say, well, Pastor Bud, if we didn't keep the law, then we're all lawbreakers. That's true. Almighty God said in his reckoning, I gave you the law and none of you kept it. We've all sinned and come short when the law was the determining factor of our righteousness. But you see, by the righteousness of the law, there would be none justified because we've all sinned and come short. But by the second covenant, this covenant is written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. It is a beautiful expression of God's second attempt to recover his people without the law through grace and mercy. Because if he hadn't had grace and mercy, none of us would have been even honorably mentioned, because the Bible said the best we can do are works. To be judged accordingly would be filthy rags. So nobody justified, nobody acceptable under the first covenant of the law, where the high priest went once a year and there offered the blood upon the Ark of the Covenant. Now remember, this ark had no mercy. They that broke the law of Moses died without mercy. Consider yourself. What kind of a chance would you have if you were to save yourself under the aspects of a first covenant example of the law. I'm sure that Satan, the prosecuting attorney, who was the accuser of the brethren, could whip up a charge readily upon you and find sin in your camp through the law. That's why that none of the sons of Yah, even those who were disobedient in the days of Noah, were kept locked up in a prison, a place of capture, if you will, with no hope of escaping because no covenant had entered in to recover or to reclaim the captives, because nobody worthy. Heaven was searched, the earth was searched, beneath the earth was searched, and no one found worthy to loose or to open the seal or to open the prison of sin where we were kept prisoners, held captive by the cunning craftiness of Satan, using the law as a weapon not for us but against us, because in the flesh we were weak. Paul said the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. And when we do good, evil was always present to stand or buffet us or to resist us or to accuse us. Either of the above would bring condemnation at the throne of judgment. And without his mercy and grace and the ability to recover us in the second recovering aspect of the second Passover. Now, the second Passover is very instrumental in bringing us blessings galore from the mind of an eternal Father who himself was judged unclean. Think about this now. Remember, he was numbered with the transgressors. What do you think that that represents? Well, under the law, we know that he was perfect. We know he did no sin. But it's not to say that he was not numbered with the transgressors or the unclean, because he was deemed unclean through the touching of a dead body. And that deemed him unclean. And so the Jews turned this little technicality that God had written into the Holy Word from the ninth chapter of a book of Numbers and gave us an escape, if you will, a second recovery or a second attempt in case we failed with the first attempt, which was the representation of the law. Everybody failed, ladies and gentlemen. None good, no, not one. But the fact that our Messiah became sin for us. You see, he had to be judged unclean to become sin for us. Now, becoming sin for us, he was judged worthy because he laid down his life willingly for the unclean. And therefore, when he died for the unclean, he died for you. You say, well, I'm perfect, Pastor Buddy, and I keep the law, glory to God, and you know, I don't come short. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a pitiful, pitiful sinner as far as the law goes. The Bible said even the faults of foolishness is sin. There is no way you can escape sin in the carnal body. As long as you got a carnal body with a carnal mind, sin will dwell in your body. Thoughts, evil thoughts, anything that classifies itself as sin will enter in and defile your conscience, that you will be condemned in the day of judgment. If so, that God used the law to judge you, there would be no flesh saved. But the wonderful foremind and predestination of Almighty Yahweh gave us a right to the tree of life by the second covenant. I will write my laws in their hearts and minds, and I will be merciful to their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. Now, all the more reason for you to remember him. This is the one that freed you from the law of sin and death. I don't care how righteous you become, and it's good that you keep the law as much as within you. The Bible said to strive to enter in, and that's part of our ability to learn. This is nothing but a schoolyard of instruction. Life itself is a learning experience. We don't know it all. We know in part. We prophesy in part. That which comes that is not in part will no longer be in part. But that time comes at its appropriate time for everything and every purpose. There is a time and place for every event. So what do? Well, you strive, as I said, to enter in the straight gate, because straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. You see, only a few is going to find the second Passover in its revelations. Only those that are purposed, only those that are marked, and only those who are predestined to see the revelation of truth will see into the elements of mystery of the second Passover. These are wonderful choices. You say, well, what about if I never see the second Passover, will I get to heaven? It's not a question of getting to heaven or getting to hell. It's a question of striving to enter. If you've strived and you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. If it doesn't matter, if you're not concerned, if you're not sincere, if you're not a seeker, if you're not a divine covenant seeker, then you'll be judged accordingly. And by your fruits, Yahweh knows you. You see, you can claim mercy. You can preach mercy in faith. Faith without works is dead. There's no mercy to them that deserve no mercy. But if you can establish a covenant of revelation, you see, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You see, the Jews kept the first Passover. These are the Pharisees, the ones who thought they were right. They never had an inkling of revelation that the Messiah might have purposely set up the second covenant of the second Passover to be judged accordingly, that he himself could be numbered among the transgressors and deemed and marked unclean, yet perfect in the sight of God, to offer his body without spot and wrinkle, to make an acceptable, the only, let me say this again with emphasis, the one and only acceptable sacrifice ever presented in the presence of God without sin. Now let me repeat that. This is under the covenant of the second Passover. You say, why? Well, he didn't die in the first Passover. You see, in the first Passover, in the book of Matthew chapter 26, if you'll go to the first verse and read the first 17 verses of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll find that he was alive on the 14th day. Now, he should have been dead at 3 o'clock on the 14th day. But he was making plans with his disciples, meaning that they themselves were branded as unclean victims of the circumstances that was beyond their control. They touched a dead body, so they were deemed unclean. And the Jews acknowledged, let's not kill him or any of his followers on our Passover, lest there be an uproar among the people. So what they do? They branded him and his followers unclean by touching a dead body and setting in the presence of the leper. Both examples are demonstrated in the Word very clearly before the first Passover. So then they did not have time to properly purify themselves, because you see, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people just go through the ritual of Passover, a little grape juice and crackers at the local church out of a little clean vessel, And they never figure out what Passover is all about and what its purpose and meanings was from the very beginning. From the very beginning, it was not grape juice and crackers that constituted a Passover. The rituals that we do in the Christian church are not valid. They're all pagan. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I can read Glory to God where he took the bread and he dipped the sop and he raised the cup and he washed the feet. That wasn't Passover. You say, oh, yes, it was. Glory to God. I've heard my preacher preach about it time after time. It's right in the Bible. Well, let me give you a little help for those of you who have not studied the Word and prayed and fasted. Now I'm 50 years into this movement, 50 years of experience in searching, praying, and fasting into the revelations, the things that are hidden. I've evolved over the years. I don't know it all today, and certainly didn't know it 30 years ago or 40 years ago or as many as 50 years ago. I certainly was a greenhorn. Not that I know any more today than the average Joe, but I do know this. That does not constitute a Passover. If you read the example, this is where people get this example of the bread or the cracker, in this case, Christian churches, most of them, crackers and grape juice. I've been through all this. If you read John chapter 13, the Gospel of St. John chapter 13 verse 1, you will clearly see that that was not the Passover meal that they were eating. It actually tells you it was 2 days before the Passover meal. But everybody and their grandmother in the Christian church celebrates this as Passover, when actually it was not. Never was related to Passover. Never will be. Although the Christian church has turned it into a traditional form of the observance of Passover, they are truly not keeping Passover. The command for Passover has all of the rituals associated with it in killing the lamb and sharing the body of the lamb with the family, with the unleavened bread and the cup and the bitter herb salad that was associated with a covenant custom of the house of Israel, instituted in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, reiterated several times in the book of Leviticus chapter 23 and in the book of Deuteronomy and other places as well, many instances where the traditional cycles of Passover and the rituals or the elements of the mysteries of the sacraments, as we call them, bread and wine, was only two of the elements. You see, we've left off the most important element of the observance, and that's eating the body of lamb. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that'd be sacrilegious. Glory to God. We wouldn't do that for the world. And yet, they'll get up on Easter Sunday morning. They don't get up on Passover morning because it ain't Passover. When you see the Christian church observe Easter, it's designated and calculated by a Gregorian calendar that is development of sequential events to mathematically determine what day Easter is. It's not a biblical day. It's a pagan day. Bunny rabbits are pagan. Hiding Easter eggs is pagan. Oh, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, don't jump on us for this. Glory to God. It's just, we do remember He died. Our Savior died for us. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't do it correctly according to His Word, how do you think we're going to escape His wrath when we claim to be lawkeepers? And in truth and reality of performance of His Word, compared to the judgment Should we find any grace? I think not. When he said, why call me Master and Lord and do not the things that I say to do? And many of you will keep your own tradition and break the commandments of God. Should we have any fellowship with those who are pagan? Should we have any fellowship with those who seem right? In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 1 through 17, find out if Pastor Buddy is telling you the truth. Then, for a second witness, go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. And see if the Messiah died in the first, what we call the first Jewish Passover. I know the subtitles in the books, it's been divided. This is man's work. They indicate that the Messiah ate the Passover. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't have it both ways. He either washed the Passover lamb and died without eating the Passover meal, because he died at 3 o'clock on the 14th day. The Passover meal was not eaten until the 15th day. Now, if he ate the Passover, which it says that he did in those two books that I just mentioned, the question is, which Passover meal did he eat? Certainly didn't eat the first one. He would have been dead on the fourth. He would have been hanging on a torture stake when he's making plans to go to a city. And we tell you what city he goes to in the 11th chapter and the 54th verse of the book of St. John. He went into the city of Ephraim after the first Passover and returned to Jerusalem in the second Passover. And there he was murdered, killed, in the second Passover with just a few there. See, they were many in the first Passover. They were commanded to be in Jerusalem. In the second Passover, only those that touched a dead body or had been on a journey and failed to show up. These were the ones that came and were qualified to keep the second Passover. He was numbered with the transgressors is what that means. He had to be condemned and numbered under the law of the transgressors or unclean to be killed in the second Passover, and that's when he died. When the crowd went home and the small crowd came back to keep the second Passover, just a few, he was numbered with them, and there they killed him. And not hardly a murmur among the people. They opened not their mouth. Even those that swore loyalty to follow him, they fled when his arrest came. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy. I hope today, this afternoon, in the WNQM 1300 AM dial, that I've told you something to think about in the coming day. Now, if you'd like to attend a second Passover, we keep the second Passover in commemoration of what I just told you. If you'd like to have this three-set CD series, you can order these from Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call Radio Network. I'd be glad to pass them on to you for your instruction. We only accept free will offerings. We don't charge for the materials. But we do accept your love offerings and your offer of support. You'll hear many strange things here on WNQM 1300 AM around the Nashville area. We're a 100-mile radius of Nashville. You can pick us up on Clear Channel 1300 AM every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock Central Time in your listening area. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Write me this evening. Make you a note. Take my address and telephone number. Call me if you like. But you can call me or you can write me. My mailing address is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now let me repeat that for you very slow. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell. Two words, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. My telephone number, I'm live tonight, 8th day of April. We're coming up on the beginning season of the first Passover. Remember, at the 14th day, that will be the full moon. The day before the full moon is the 14th day always on Yahweh's lunar calendar. That's the one we worship under. The one that's got the signs in the heavens to go by, not some Gregorian man-made pagan induced thought up traditional way. Don't get caught up in the ways of the world. Don't learn the ways of the heathen. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. From such turn away, cause from such the wrath of God comes upon the disobedient. Turn from your wicked ways. Get in the revelation of the truth. Walk upright before him. Commemorate and observe and do in remembrance the time he died. If you can figure out in your heart he died in the second Passover, that's the time you need to keep. If he died in the first one, that's the time you need to keep. Well, I can prove he didn't die in the first one. He was alive and well and going on a journey. On the 14th day, it is stated that he was still alive. We know he was rested on the night of the 13th, beginning the 14th day, so he would have been in prison on the complete all day long from daylight of the 14th day. He appeared in the judgment hall of Pilate and Herod. And he was interrogated, and he was scorned, and whipped, and beaten, and mistreated on the 14th day. He died in the second Passover with a little crowd of unclean people gathered around. See how this fits in with who you are. Thank your Heavenly Father that he died for a sinner. Thank your Heavenly Father he was judged with the transgressors and the sinners and the unclean. Thank your Heavenly Father for the house of Israel who had been scattered abroad since 721 B.C. The 10 northern tribes had done been long gone, that he came to die for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that could be you. If you're listening in this evening, call me. Area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to listen in tonight by switching from your AM dial over to shortwave, WWCR 5.070. At 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, that will be 7 Central in your listening area. At 7 p.m., I'll be on 5070 WWCR shortwave around the world live with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. I'll be looking for you, and I'll be hoping that you tune in regularly to our radio network on the Shepherd's Call. I've enjoyed being with you this evening. The time has went very fast. We just don't have enough time to get into some of the deepening mysteries and elements that we'd like to go into some in-depth explanation of meanings and purposes. But time doesn't permit for us to do that. In the meantime, if you would like to contact Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, you can do so by writing me a letter at Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me live, I can take your calls up till 7 o'clock Central Time. I'll be live on the radio, but you can call me anytime after the 9 o'clock of the Central Time Zone. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you have access to the internet. You can email me at buddy@netcommander.com. That's buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, lowercase, @netcommander.com. Now, if you'd like to have access to our website, you can simply go online to www.pastorbuddy.net. That's www.pastorbuddy.net. And there we have a wealth of information on the articles and information. We have the calendar, the lunar calendar that we observe under the Hebrew laws of Almighty Yahweh, the one and only. That's who we represent here this evening. Well, it's been good to be in your presence. My, how time has moved on down the line. Now, I'll be back with you next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, 6 Eastern Standard Time, on 1300 WNQM in the Nashville listening area. And I'd like to pray for those who experienced the tragic results of these violent hurricanes that came through. And I hope and trust that you escaped. The wrath of these storms is tremendous. There has been an unprecedented increase in the number of these storms that have hit around our nation. I believe, who we know that God has no respect of persons. So if it happened in your area, it's just nature. However, behind that, there is a quickening power, because it says that God is in the wind. And He's used windstorms, He's used hornets, He's used donkeys, He's used everything conceivable to think of to turn His people back to His way of thinking. And ladies and gentlemen, we got to get back to the old path. The Bible said to see and ask for the old path, and when we find it, to walk in. And we could find rest for our soul. I hope and trust that your family escaped the wrath of the storms. I hope He will continue keeping you safe. If you need our assistance in any way that we can help, or be in prayer for the loss of a loved one or loss of your property, then you can contact us here at the Shepherd's Call Ministries. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. Or you can email me at buddy@netcommander.com. I'd be glad to communicate with you. If I can help you in any way, that's the purpose of our ministry. It's not to harm or hurt or to set you back. It's not to change your way of thinking. It's to bring you truth and let you decide where truth is. The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And my purpose in the 50 years of my ministry, I've been ministering ever since I was 20 years of age. I'm now 70 years into time, according to man's time. And I can say this truthfully, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed of begging bread. Almighty Yahweh has been good and kind to His people. He loves you. You may not know Him, but He knows you. If you're His and you're one of His sheep, the Bible says to harden not your heart. Open that door of revelation. You see, God comes through knowledge. And without knowledge, you could be destroyed very easy. And you see, so much deceit has entered in, even in the translations of the Bible. Deceit has crept in gradually. Could have been purposefully, could have been unintentionally, but whatever the case is, many, many things have been added to the Word. And, of course, many things taken away. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible was for the New Testament particularly. The Old Testament is very well verifiable. But the New Testament, we got to take it by the body of faith, and we trust it to men for 1,500 years before we got it printed from the printing press, before we could ever start looking into the Bible as a truth. So then we must use the Word when it says to search the Scriptures for wherein we think we have eternal life and we have none. So my purpose is for you to search the Scriptures. And if you can find any truth in Pastor Buddy's message tonight, give me a call at area code 423-626-2172, or take the time to sit down and write me a letter. Tell me what you think about the message. I'll communicate with you. I'll write you back personally. I answer every letter myself. Just a small country boy with a country ministry, trying to reach out and touch the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Until next Sunday, this is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll see you next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock Central Time on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. A little bit of Dixie.